It's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels, an improv podcast, pulling stuff out of my posterior at lightning quickness, but still coming out with broadcasting brilliance. So Ron Paul decides to lambast Speaker Mike Johnson for guess what? For rolling over like the fat, greasy sow that he is and giving the Democrats everything they ever wanted when it comes to giving tens of billions of dollars to the Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, including $3.5 billion for non-governmental organizations in Central America and South America in order to foster more illegal immigration all across the United States. Wow, what a gift to the Democrats. I thought Speaker Johnson was supposed to be here as the bulwark against woke liberalism and fight back for regular old-fashioned conservative Americans. Absolutely not. So Ron Paul said, reaching across the aisle, Johnson stiffed the Republican majority that elected him Speaker, pushed through a massive gift to the warfare corporate welfare state, and it ended up being a massive aid package to the Ukraine and also Israel. Speaker, Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, according to Ron Paul, also was reported to have bragged to his colleagues about how easily Speaker Johnson gave Democrats everything they wanted and asked for nothing in return. So in other words, Speaker Johnson is completely compromised, probably being blackmailed, as we outlined on the other show, and is nothing more than a World Economic Forum woke crypto-Democrat disguising himself as some kind of Republican. He gave everything away. And then once all of this was done, you had everybody in Congress standing up, chanting Ukraine, 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 and waving around Ukrainian flags. Now, the sergeant-at-arms over in Congress, essentially being run by Speaker Johnson, is now saying that if anybody from Congress decides to post that video of all of these Congress members waving around Ukrainian flags, they're going to be fined $500 until they take this thing down. Why? Because it's embarrassing. They don't want basic American voters to know that their Congress is completely compromised, giving away tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars to foreign nations whilst flipping the bird to the average American voter. That's the big deal here. And they're going to continue to do it. It's crazy that anybody even believes that the Republicans just only want what's best for Americans and nothing more. I mean, it's just mind-bogglingly stupid that these Republicans even are in office, unless you consider the fact that there are still electronic voting machines, and those voting machines aren't doing the will of the voters. They're not tallying it correctly. I mean, think about Mitt Romney, this idiot from Utah. He's a Bush Republican through and through. He might as well be a Democrat. And the only reason why he's registered Republican is because he knows, coming from Utah, he'd never get elected as a Democrat. So I've just lifted the lid on old mittens. He said, I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character, and so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you. So he's responding to a question about Trump's trial, the Stormy Daniels trial. You know, you remember that one. The same trial where Stormy Daniels wrote that she, in fact, did not have a sexual relationship with Donald Trump. That trial that we're all focusing on. So Mitt Romney hates Donald Trump. He can't stand him. He wants Donald Trump railroaded in the worst way possible because Donald Trump steamrolled him and called him out for the phony jerk liberal that he is. So Romney wants to see Trump locked up. Can't wait for it to happen. This is the strategy of the woke Republicans. This is the strategy of the Democrats in this trial. They don't want the jurors to know anything about the facts of the trial. They only want these jurors to rule on the perception of Trump's character. That's all. This is just a trial, a phony fake trial in New York to judge Trump's character and punish him for the person that he is. Not punish him, not find him guilty based upon the facts. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Now, here's the real problem with all of this. All they need is one juror to say, no, I'm not buying the state's argument here. I don't, in fact, believe Trump is guilty of what you are accusing him of. But they're sabotaging the jury. I'll tell you how. There are two lawyers in this jury. Everyone is saying, at least on the MAGA Republican side, oh, well, we've got two jurors in there that happen to be lawyers, so they know the law better than everybody. They're going to be able to clean things up and make sure that Alvin Bragg and doesn't go overboard in New York State and Trump gets a fair trial. They're going to be the bulwark against this woke nonsense. Wrong. Wrong. You have two jurors on there that are lawyers, because what they're going to do is they're going to make sure and convince the average juror in there, which probably isn't that bright, being that they're a jury of your peers, they're going to convince those jurors, any sort of outlier juror that says, no, Trump is not guilty, to say that Trump is guilty. The two lawyers in there are ensuring that they are going to overpower any objections. If there are any doubts from any of those jurors due to the faulty arguments of the state, those two lawyers are going to continue the arguments for the state. They're going to continue the arguments in favor of prosecuting and finding Trump guilty because the state did such a horrible job trying to prove the facts to begin with. So they've tainted the jury. They've made sure that this thing is going to be wrapped up against Trump in all ways. These two lawyers are working for the Democrats. Mark my words. They're going to come out. They're going to get book deals because they're going to be the ones that make sure that Trump is guilty 100%. Hopefully there's somebody in there with some modicum of critical thought and ability to determine facts from character judgments, but I do not have high hopes for that. Just like I don't have high hopes for many mainstream media outlets. Scientific American, guess what? If you say there are two sexes, everybody sit down for this because it sounds asinine, it is now considered misinformation. Imagine the fun we can have on social media if artificial intelligence is determining what is icky and what is good, commenting on social media posts. And that's exactly what you're going to see. So it says that, oh, Scientific American now claims that there is misinformation, such as the notion that there are only two sexes, is being used against transgender people and in order to target gender-affirming medical care. Okay, these macabre degenerates that are claiming they are for and helping people with gender-affirming care, they're slicing off reproductive organs. They are creating people that are hideously depressed. They're taking advantage of the insurance companies and also these poor people that need honest-to-God mental health, right? They need help in their heads because even though these people go through gender-affirming care, they end up suicidal. Many of them say, oh, wait a minute, is there any way to reattach my breasts? Is there any way to put a penis back on me? And the answer usually is no. And there is no way to, quote-unquote, detransition. So first off, stop calling this care. It is nothing more than a medical experiment, especially when you're talking about children. And it is not misinformation. I'm sorry to tell you about it being two genders. Okay, so Scientific American in X, they posted three types of misinformation are being used against transgender people. Oversimplifying scientific knowledge, fabricating and misinterpreting research, and promoting false equivalences. Oh, yes, that's exactly what's going on here. The piece continues by saying many of the arguments against trans rights center on the idea that transness itself is not legitimate, that there are just two sexes, period. Oh, my goodness. Let's say something right now. Trans rights, guess what? What right are you looking for that you don't have already? Nobody is rounding you up. Nobody's throwing you in prison for no reason. This isn't, they're not gay people back in the 70s and 60s where you couldn't even walk through New York City unless you were going to be threatened to be beat up and dragged behind a car. This is not, oh, we need trans rights. No, they could do whatever they like. Nobody's stopping them from doing it. All most Americans want is for these people to stop shoving it in all of our faces and promoting this stuff in elementary school. Doesn't sound like a tall order, but yet here we are. Now, it goes on and on and on how there's an argument that, oh, this is not real. There isn't only two genders, and we have to recognize many other people, and they're using this as a dog whistle to go after the rights of human beings that they don't like. Yeah, on and on and on and on. And then you have the claim that, oh, well, now the conservatives, they are using a new dog whistle term. If you hear this from a conservative, you know that they're going to start attacking that term being DEI. No, it's a dog whistle for Democrats and also the wokesters in human resources. Whenever you see DEI, you automatically say quota. You automatically say, as a dog whistle, this isn't written anywhere, but or maybe written somewhere, but it is implied that you don't want to hire and promote white people. Period. End of story. If that ain't a dog whistle, I don't know what effing is. But going back to the whole transgender thing, you know my thoughts on the transgender thing. If you're 18 and above, you do what you want. You want to graft on boobs. You want to chop off your dick. By all means, go ahead. Have a good time. Just don't hurt anybody else whilst you're doing it. However, when you're starting to go after children, particularly elementary school kids, as in the cases of North Carolina and South Carolina, where they allow their hospital networks to perform gender-affirming care for 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds, Germany takes it one step further. I'm pushing the idea that this is low-level population control. You make it socially acceptable to transition your gender, which ultimately means that you are going to be sterile for the rest of your life. Once you do this, you can't undo it. You cannot unring the bell of sterility. You take the hormones, you take the anti-androgens, you take the puberty blockers, that's it. You lob off your various reproductive organs. Show's over. You are closed for this timeline. Germany passes gender self-identification law allowing infants to transition and imposes massive fines if you do not pay attention to the real new name, supposedly. Now, here is what is happening here. Of course, they have somebody that looks like an absolute train wreck with black lipstick and big, thick glasses promoting this kind of legislation. But guess what? This is how all of this works. Parents can alter the recorded sex of children beginning at birth. So if you have a baby boy, but your mother doesn't like the idea that he has a penis, that mother can say, nope, it's not a male, it's female. From the age of 5 years old, it allows the name and sex changes if there is mutual consent between children and their parents. Oh my goodness, talk about freedom of speech. If you can't say, that's not a girl, that's a boy, then you're going to be in heap big trouble. And furthermore, the Self-Determination Act was designed to implement a core idea of the basic law, the protection of gender identity, by giving people the opportunity to change their gender entry and first name without discrimination. And also, there is a 1-year blocking period, and it will apply where no further changes are allowed. The person can change their name and sex once again after the year passes. Good luck doing a background check now. That's how dangerous this is. So let me end it there. The whole idea that this is going to be some fair way of identifying somebody is out the window. They're also fining people $10,800 for dead naming. Dead naming being the idea that these people or other people can call these children by their original birth name. That's how crazy this is. All right, that's it for me. Quick show, Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast.